This is Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, ADHD, is sometimes described as paradoxical. On the one hand, you give people with ADHD something that they really want to zoom in on and they have no trouble focusing like they might have, let's say, if they were in a classroom or if they were trying to do something else. It's paradoxical. Here, on one hand, they can't focus. Let's say they're jumping around in the classroom like kids might do. On the other hand, you give them something they really like to do, and they can hyperfocus and zoom in on it. Why is that? That is something that has always really been a problem in understanding. And now a new study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, there might be an explanation. Because researchers looking at the brains of people with ADHD have found key differences in the reward pathways of the brain. What does reward have to do with attention? Nora Volkoff is the director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse at the National Institutes of Health and the lead author on the new study, and she's back to talk about it with us. Hi, welcome back to the program, Dr. Volkoff.
Good afternoon. How are you?
You have found that there are different reward pathways in the brain for people with ADHD and people without it?
No, the reward pathway is the same. What we were actually investigating was whether there were changes in the function of the dopamine reward pathway in the brain in individuals that suffer from attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So the study used imaging specifically to monitor different markers of the dopamine system in the brain of individuals with ADHD. We studied 55 of those individuals and 43 healthy controls, and then compared the brain of these two groups of subjects and found that indeed, as would have been suggested by clinical studies, there was a significant deficit in the function of the dopamine reward pathway in individuals that have ADHD.
Mm-hmm. So you felt more reward if you were focused?
Well, it's what we are finding is there is decreased activity of the reward system in individuals with ADHD, with which translate into a decreased sensitivity to being able to be engaged by stimuli that are not inherently rewarding or reinforcing. And this could explain what you were introducing, the paradoxical perspective of many parents that say, oh, well, you know, my kid can spend hours playing video, focused and attentive, and yet they cannot focus at all at school. Mm. Well, the difference is that the video is inherently rewarding and reinforcing, and by being inherently rewarding, it activates the dopamine system, and the activation of the dopamine system is indispensable to motivate you and engage the attentional network. By having a deficit in the function of the system, it requires a much stronger stimuli to engage an individual with ADHD, such that that person gets motivated and interested on the task, which will then allow him to engage and recruit the attentional networks of the brain.
So there, it looks like you have two options then, either to find, let's say for kids, to find teachers who are really good at motivating you to pay attention, or giving you a great reward when you do that, or to find maybe some drug pathway, right, that might be able to do the same thing.
Well, my perspective is that you actually aim for both, right? You try to provide alternative interventions, but definitely the challenge of creating an educational curriculum that is more engaging will definitively improve the performance in individuals that have ADHD. Indeed, it improves the performance of anyone. If you're performing a task that is boring and repetitive, your performance will go down. And the issue is the threshold at which your performance starts to go down vis-a-vis the task that you are performing. And in ADHD, that threshold is much lower. Mm-hmm. And thus, you require a greater effort to make these stimuli challenging and interesting.
Mm-hmm. So this study explains then why ADHD medicines work, because they raise the baseline level of the dopamine? Yeah?
Well, it provides an explanation. And indeed, we have previously shown that the medications used for ADHD, stimulant medications like amphetamine or methylphenidate, actually make the tasks more salient, exciting. The subjects perceive them as much more interesting. And that effect, we showed, was directly associated with the ability of these medications to increase dopamine in the brain. Thus, they temporarily compensate for this deficit that individuals with ADHD have.
Mm-hmm. Does this explain why people with ADHD are at a higher risk for substance abuse?
This could provide an explanation, indeed, and in the substance abuse field, it is recognized that one of the variables that makes a person vulnerable to take drugs is a decreased function of the dopamine reward pathways that leads this person, in an attempt to automedicate, take drugs, which will temporarily increase dopamine in this pathway, as a means to correct the deficit. Mm. The problem is it's temporary, and with chronic repeated administration of drugs, that hypofunction becomes worse.
Mm-hmm. Some kids drink a lot of caffeinated drinks. Is that a self-medication method too?
Well, caffeinated drinks will also increase the activity of the dopamine cells. It mm-hmm. will increase dopamine release, and it will increase dopamine signaling. So yes, caffeine will improve performance in individuals with ADHD, in part, it's believed, because of its ability to enhance dopaminergic signals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me just, while I have you here, because I know you're an expert in drug addiction, there's a study out in Neuron this week that explores how nicotine creates strong memory associations with the environment. Can you explain how this works?
Yeah, this is a fascinating finding. And we've known all along that dopamine is very important in memory, and specifically in the type of memory that actually is required to create associations with the environment, which Pavlov coined the term conditioning. That's a type of memory. Conditioning requires dopamine. And nicotine actually activates dopamine cells through their effects on nicotine receptors. So when you are smoking, you are in the environment and you're smoking amidst your everyday activities. So the consequences is your brain automatically, unconsciously, learns the association of this environment with the experience of dopamine, which is perceived as rewarding, salient. And so you get conditioned. And the negative part of this conditioning is that when you get exposed to the same environment, this conditioning will lead you to crave the cigarette in expectation of getting that increase in dopamine. So it creates a positive feedback loop, mm-hmm. whereupon the memory perpetuates itself by engendering this desire to take the drug. You take the drug, that goes dopamine up. So again, that strengthens that conditioning next time you get exposed. And this may be one of the reasons why it's so extremely difficult for individuals to stop smoking, because their environment is conditioned to the smoke.
Yeah, let me get back to that, because I have just a short bit of time left. Let me get back to a question about ADHD. I imagine, you know, we're now in the era of understanding the human genome. I guess the genetics of ADHD now would be a big thing to understand.
Absolutely. Like any of the other diseases, it's an extraordinary opportunity. And many studies have been done on the genetics of ADHD. And two of the most robust findings actually are with regards to two genes that regulate dopaminergic neurotransmission, the dopamine transporter and the dopamine D4 receptors. Polymorphisms on them have been linked by several studies with a greater vulnerability for ADHD.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that you have shown that there is a link between the reward system and the dopamine levels, what do you tell parents or teachers of people who are involved with these kids who have ADHD?
Well, certainly I think it is very important, number one, to make them aware that this is a real disorder. Because to start with, this has generated an enormous amount of controversy in the field and in the lay public. And this is important for parents, because many times they get anguish and they said, should I give a medication to my child because they say they have ADHD? So recognizing ADHD as a disorder is very important. And this study provides, like others have done in the past, objective evidence of changes in the biochemistry and the function of the brain of these individuals. That's number one. Number two, by understanding the neurobiology, it gives parents a better comprehension of the behavioral difficulties that their kids have. And the same pertains to a teacher with respect to better understanding why it's so difficult for a kid that has ADHD to maintain their attention and why it is so easy for them to get distracted by novel stimuli. So it provides an understanding. And the third one, of course, is the direct therapeutic interventions of this understanding. The challenge, put it in other words, of making tasks much more salient for these kids so that they can engage their attention, which in turn can maintain the attention and improve the performance. Yeah. And that pertains both to parents and teachers. How can you actually give tasks to these kids that will make it salient? Just like a video. I mean, the technology on videos has maximized the ability of engaging the attention, not just of young people, but also adult people. Why can't we use not similar strategies to take advantage of them and facilitate education?
We should find more educational videos or video games.
I think, why not? I mean, we have this technology which is extraordinary, and if we can use it to maximize the likelihood of kids learning difficult subjects or subjects that they may find boring, we should use them.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you, and good luck with your research coming up.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Nora Volkoff is the director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda. Interesting research showing that you can actually show that there is a connection between ADHD and dopamine levels in the brain, showing that it does exist as a real illness, and people want to know. You know, they talk about it all the time, and that we now understand a better way of how it works and maybe how to deal with it.